God is the master conductor who sovereignly placed people in history to fulfill the prophecies regarding Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. These events represent the perfect intersection of God's providence and man's will. Today's scripture text is taken from Luke, the second chapter, verses 4 through 18. And now, Pastor Seawright's sermon called A Christmas Message About God's Providence and Man's Will.
Of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David. In order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and laying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Amen. You know, when I thought of this passage, I thought of a conductor. If you've ever seen a conductor of an orchestra, what you would notice is that as soon as he comes on stage, the whole band takes position. All of a sudden, he has their attention. And then once he raises that wand, if it is, all of a sudden, that wand has them even more prepared to be ready to play. So all of a sudden, they see him come, and they're like this. And then when he raises that wand, they get the instruments ready to play. Amen? And that's what a conductor does. And I thought of God as being that conductor, because all the pieces would have to go in place and be in place in order for a beautiful thing to happen. In order for a beautiful thing to happen. Caesar is going to have to play his part. Joseph will play his and Mary hers. And the shepherds theirs. And everyone will come together to make a beautiful story. You know, It's this word that's called providence. Providence. And providence basically means this, that God is still providing. He has created this world, but yet he is still providing. In other words, God is still in control. But it's a mystery, though, because, see, although he is in control, he allows us to make decisions as well. So in a way that I can't explain to you, he is in control, but yet we are not robots. You see what I'm saying? He is in control, but yet we are not robots. And since we are not robots, that means we're going to have some responsibility in this thing. We're going to be like Isaiah's character, where we're going to see some things one day. Because he's going to call us to judgment. But what's interesting is that while he is in control, some folks think they are in control. Just like Caesar Augustus. As I stated, he had to play his part. Caesar Augustus, Octavian, who ruled from, I believe, 27 to 14. He ruled during that time. And you know what? He cared less about Jesus coming. Matter of fact, he was ignorant to Jesus coming. In fact, his name says that he is the majestic one. He was to be honored and worshiped and adored. He wasn't thinking about Christ coming. Christ came, and when he did come, all Caesar was worried about was collecting taxes. He said, and he made a hard deadline. He said, get to your cities now. I don't care how you get there. I want you there because I want my money. He was like the IRS, if you will. They want their money or they're going to call. And he said, I want my money. So all of a sudden they came and they made their way there. But you know what? He wanted that money not only for taxes, but he had plans as well. He wanted to build cities. He wanted to build roads and things of that nature so that he could be once again worshiped and adored by all. But it's interesting, although he was ignorant of the Savior, guess what? God was showing all along that, Caesar, you thought that you were doing things your way, but actually you were just doing things in a way in which I need it, because those roads that you're building, I'm going to use those same roads so that the gospel can be traveled with ease on them and be spread it everywhere. And it's a message for those who think they are in control. Yeah, you think you're in control, but there's someone with a bigger wand. And he's just orchestrating everything. While you thinking you large and in charge, he's just directing a path, hopefully, to him. Because if he lets you go your way, one day you will be totally separated from him. But for those who think they are out there and they are their own conductors, you know, one day you're going to be sitting in church and you're going to be praising God just as loud as everyone else. And you're going to say, who would have thought God would have done it this way? I was a scoundrel, but now I'm his. Folks have been praying for me and everything else. And I was who I thought I wanted to be. And now I'm up here preaching. That's just like God. So, before you turn your final page, God is going to, he's going to turn the chapter on you. And he's going to flip the script. Just watch. Wait and see. But then there's Joseph and Mary. And Joseph and Mary, they were like I told you all before, they were probably Joseph, they say he was no more than 16. Mary, she was probably 12 or 13. 12 or 13. At 16. They weren't up there playing Fortnite or nothing. They were dealing with some serious stuff. Mary just got a visit saying, you're going to be pregnant. 13. Can you imagine that? And then Joseph got a visit saying, you're going to be a daddy at 15, 16. Wow. That's deep. But let me tell you, God was in control. And he was orchestrating this thing because he chose them precisely. Because he had them, he chose them to be in a situation that took one great thing, and that was courage. Courage. Courage to be in a situation like that, to be talked about. To be talked about. To be the subject of folks' gossip. Courage to travel, some say 80 to 100 miles, 16, 13 years old with a baby. Courage to be there in that cave. Some say that they were actually in a cave that were used for animals, to store animals at the time, because there was no room at the end. And just think about it. She was in that cave, and it was just Joseph and her. And Joseph was the only one in the room saying, push! Think about it. Oh, we got lovely thoughts of saying, I want my mama in there, and then I want my auntie in the room, and I want my husband with the ice chips. And they got they just got their pregnancy and delivery just so laid out. But think about Mary. Mary, wouldn't you think Mary wanted her mother there? One writer said, wouldn't you think she would have wanted her mother there and possibly an auntie or somebody there too? But it was just Joseph. And all of a sudden, during that final push, guess what? God invaded his creation like never before. God came on the scene like never before in the form of Jesus. Needed courage to be in that type of situation. Then you look at the shepherds. The shepherds were out in the field, and they were more than likely shepherds that were taking care of temple sheep. And they were just watching the flock by night. And some said that in order for the shepherds to deal with temple sheep, they had to be somewhat of believers. So all of a sudden, they got granted a revelation like never before. Because boom, here comes an angel. And the angel announces that a baby is born. And not just a baby, but the child, the promised Messiah, is born. And get this, one angel coming on the scene had folks fainting, had folks like scared and everything else. But then all of a sudden, what appeared was a multitude of angels. And you know that somebody said that multitude could have meant up to a million angels. Just think about that. A million angels saying glory to God, to the highest. If I were one of those shepherds, I still think I would be trying to wake up. It would have been such a frightening sight. But it would have been a glorious sight as well. Amen. Because the angel said, fear not. This is not a visit of judgment. This is a visit of celebration. So all of those pieces were coming together. Those who thought nothing of Christ, and then those who thought they may have been too young, and then those who were just dealing with their day-to-day task and dealing with the business at hand. All of those folks, all of a sudden, God had them coming together, and he was orchestrating this beautiful story. Amazing, great, awesome, extraordinary. Those are words that are used so much now that they can't even get your attention. R.C. Sproul said, amazing is no longer amazing. Because every time someone sees something that is cool, they say, amazing. Man, she makes amazing pies. She makes amazing cakes. Wow, did you see that dunk? It was amazing. Look at the definition of amazing. I've never seen an amazing dunk. An amazing cake. One that causes you to worship the cake. The cake is so good. I've seen like toes patting and going where they chewing notes while they're eating, but I've never seen one that's worth worshiping. What will get you to see Christ as being amazing, great, extraordinary, awesome? What will it take for you to get him in your conscience, in your heart, and worship him and give him the worship that he's due? What will it take? Will it take a simple message from Aiden? Will it take a simple message from me? What will it take? On this day, this season that we're celebrating, we're saying that Christ is still amazing. God is still amazing. He is extraordinary. He is great. He is awesome. And he's worthy to be praised and served. That's what we're saying on this day. And I will leave you with one thing. And that is this: there will be a day. There will be a day where if you don't recognize him now as King and Lord, the word says one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Don't be caught down here unprepared. Choose ye this day who you will serve. Yes, we're celebrating a child being born, but that child grew up. He grew up. And one day that child will come back. Jesus, he will come back. Don't be caught unprepared. Here's an opportunity for you to serve an amazing God. An amazing God. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Please don't. When we here at this church will say to you, please come. We beg you. From this pulpit, that's exactly what it's called. It's called a pulpit. Trying to pull you to Christ. We're begging you to choose Christ today. This is not for show. We are begging you, please come to him. Please come. Don't delay. We'll have those up here after service that are willing and able to talk to you if you choose to make that decision. And as always, for those who have visited on occasion and they say, man, I kind of like what they're doing here. Well, you know, just like my brother said, the more the merrier. Come on. The more the merrier. The more the merrier. Amen. And for those who need prayer, I say to you as well, we are here to pray with you, pray for you. You know, I got a call this morning that I'm still dealing with. I got a text, rather, this morning that I'm still dealing with. And this is why I'm telling you all, please choose him today. I got a call from a text from a coworker. I called a coworker back, and during this season, she has suffered a tremendous loss. I mean, she has a sister that she is so tight with, and she let me know by text that sister had a massive heart attack yesterday. Just like that. And she's gone. Gone. She said she talked to her about 8 o'clock and she was gone to eternity at 11. Amazing. Now that is amazing. Please don't let that happen without you knowing Christ. Amen? Amen. And also I want to say to you all that following the service, shortly following the service, there will be a christening. Amen. For those who have to leave, I just ask you to do that in an orderly fashion. For those who want to stay and witness this awesome event, you're welcome to stay. Amen. God bless you.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.